Lydia Benn, the creative partner for worship at the local church, and you are listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast featuring the messages from our Sunday liturgy. Local Church is a bold and inclusive faith community based in Chatham County, North Carolina. We gather for worship every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in person at House of Hops in Pittsboro, North Carolina, and online via Facebook Live and YouTube. No matter where you find yourself physically, spiritually, or emotionally, you belong at the local church, and we're so glad you're here.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered to him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms in the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not gash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of God for all of God's creation. Thanks be to God.
We're a valley of dry bones. Lead us back to life in you. We become a talent show. Back to life in you. We've been throwing heavy stones. Lead us back to life in you.
Amen.
Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this new day. New every morning is your love, great God of light. We pray that you would come and fill us, Holy Spirit. Help us to recognize our fullness in you already. In the midst of so much heaviness, so much pain, so much despair, so much desolation, in the midst of so many wilderness experiences, both here at home and all around the world, especially in Eastern Europe, God, in Ukraine. We pray that you would help us to see you. And not just see you, but be empowered by your grace to carry that spirit with us in every moment, in every word, in every action. God, help us to receive this day, this time together, as a gift, as we are indeed led back to you by your spirit, by your grace. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who is God with us. Amen. Amen. So as you heard Fiona read, today's story is that of Jesus in the desert, in the wilderness, facing temptation against the devil, against the forces of evil personified. We'll get into that in just a minute and think about what God might be saying to us here and now. But first, I want to begin by naming one of my biggest temptations. You ready for this? You ready for this? Chips and salsa at Mexican restaurants. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah, yeah. Just this past Monday, I went to Mi Cancun in Pittsboro for lunch, and I hadn't even sat down, and the chips were already there glowing, right? Just waiting for me. And like Jesus in the wilderness, when I got there, I was famished as well. And as is my custom, before I arrived at the restaurant, I gave myself a pep talk. I tried to prepare myself. Brent, you're hungry? You already know that you're going to order the spicy steak tacos, no beans, extra rice. So don't fill up on chips and salsa. Yeah. I know you want to, but don't. Remember last time. That was my pep talk. And then I get to the restaurant, and I sit down, and they're right there. And I can't resist. My hand reaches out to grab one, and I eat it. My mind says, okay, it's just one. You're doing great. This is fine. Everything's all right. But then inevitably, right, there's another, and then another, and then another, and it's all over. Tell me this isn't just me, right? My spicy steak tacos come out just a few minutes later, and I realize that I'm already too full because of all the chips that I've already eaten. Look, there's nothing wrong with chips and salsa, but for me, what's so disappointing is the fact that I now can't enjoy my spicy steak tacos. Extra rice, no beans. There's a delicious meal waiting for me, but instead I give in to the temptation right before me that keeps me from experiencing something greater. I'm too full, right? And also yet somehow empty. As you can tell, today launches a new season for us here at the local church. It's our first Sunday at Woods Charter. We're so grateful for their hospitality, their generosity of space to be here. It's so good to see you. And we hope and pray that this new space will give us room to continue to grow as a faith community and where we can offer God's love and belonging to so many in Chatham County and beyond. But we also hope and pray as we sent the kids out that this space is one that the kids can find a spiritual home as well. Not just, no longer just relegated to the corner at House of Hops, but they have a room. They're under the same roof as we are right now. How cool is that? And so, and we're still going to include them in the worship as you saw this morning. And so it's a new season for us at the local church. It's also the new season of Lent. It's the first Sunday in the season of Lent, which is the 40-day season in our church calendar, a time of preparation for the heartbreak and hope of Holy Week and Easter. Perhaps you've heard of Lent before. What you may not know is that the word Lent comes from the Old English word for lengthen. Did you know that? Do you know that? And it refers to the gradually lengthening days that we experience this time of year. Over centuries, Lent came to evolve into this period of preparation over 40 days, which is a number that has significance in Scripture. From the number of days it rained in the story of Noah's Ark to how many years Israel wandered in the wilderness. And we hear it today in the story that Fiona read as well. How many days was Jesus in the wilderness? 40, right? And it's that wilderness wandering that gives shape to our season of Lent, to our Lenten journeys. Now, when you think about Lent, you might think about themes of self-denial, of giving up social media or chocolate or tortilla chips, as the case may be. Never going to happen. Or maybe for you, it's taking something on. Right? Something to add to your life of renewed prayer practice or a commitment to reading scripture or showing up here on Sunday mornings. Maybe you've experienced Lent before as a season of desolation and penitence, leaning into our fragility and failure, our propensity for harm, the ways that we're caught in systemic sin, recognizing our need for divine grace. And I want to say, none of that's wrong. If that marks your season now or if it has in the past, none of that is wrong. I trust it was and is what you need it to be. But I also wonder if this year, especially this year, in the wake of all that we've been through, in the midst of all that's going on now, upending our world as we speak, I wonder if it might be worth taking a slightly different approach to the season of Lent. Something that feels, believe it or not, a little less Lenty. And that's why I'm so excited to introduce our new sermon series that will guide us through this season, because that's exactly what this series does. It's from the creatives at A Sanctified Art, and the series is called Full to the Brim, Full to the Brim, Full to the Brim, An Expansive Lent, Full to the Brim, An Expansive Lent. And now, it's important to know that Full to the Brim certainly doesn't shy away from the themes that we've named that often mark this season: suffering, grief, lament, penitence, loss, among others, confession. It doesn't shy away from those, as you'll see, not just today, but in the weeks ahead. But instead, what this series offers is an invitation to be filled to the brim, to be nourished, to taste and see the goodness of God that's already all around us. In other words, what if Lent wasn't necessarily, especially this year, about an emptying? What if it wasn't necessarily about a self-denial? What if it wasn't about beating ourselves up? I don't know about you, but I do enough of that. What if it wasn't, what if it was instead a journey toward wholeness, toward abundance, toward experiencing the fullness of life, the life that really is life? And what if we were to discover that that life, that love, that beauty, that goodness, that grace is already spilling over? What if that's the turn that we need right now in this Lenten season? Let's flip the script on this season. That's what full to the brim is all about. And I think we need it. I think we need it. Anybody else? Can you get on board with that? Drop an emoji in the comments online. Or if you're watching on your phone here, that's fine too. If you can get into that. But alas, this morning we begin in the desert. Starts in desolation, starts in wilderness. We get the wilderness story from the gospel according to Luke, Luke's narrative retelling of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And as we noted last Sunday, on Transfiguration Sunday, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan with words of identity and purpose spoken over him. And no sooner is he baptized, blessed, named, that he's led where? Into the wilderness, full of the Holy Spirit. 40 days to be tempted by the devil. And that's where we pick up our story today. Jesus is exhausted, starving, he's vulnerable, he's weak, he for all intents and purposes, is easy prey, right? The devil wants to take advantage of this. He sees an opportunity to undermine Jesus' identity and purpose and so much more. And so the devil appears to him and says, "Hey, Jesus, I know you're hungry. I know you're hungry. You'd probably give anything for just the smallest, tiniest morsel of bread right now. And well, hey, that gives me an idea. You can just take this rock, turn it to bread. You can do that, right?" In other words, the devil is promising comfort to Jesus here. He's tempting him to sustain himself. He's trying to get Jesus to essentially say, "I don't believe that God will actually provide for my needs." But Jesus resists this ploy, digs deep, and responds with a line from the Hebrew scriptures, from Deuteronomy, throwing the ancient words of God back to the devil, saying, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." And in so doing, what's happening there is he's referencing the manna, the food that God provided to the Israelites over their 40 years of wilderness wandering. He's trusting that the God of provision that sustained them then will sustain him now, even when he can't see it. And so the devil doesn't give up. He tries a second time, showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, and he lays it on thick. "Think of it, Jesus," the devil says. "All of this can be yours. It's all been given to me. I can just give it to you. All you have to do is worship me. All you have to do is bow down. Your life can change in an instant. You'll be out of the desert, sitting on a throne with the snap of a finger. You can have everything that you ever wanted, glory, fame, power, you name it, you just say the word and it's yours." But again, Jesus rejects, resists, rebuffs the devil's promise of glory and self-service. Again, quoting Hebrew scripture, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Words that are familiar to him. In other words, Jesus is saying, "This is not about me. This is about God. This is about my Father. It's not about what I want, but it's about ordering my life in service to God's dream, God's vision, God's hope for this world." Deterred but not defeated, the devil tries a third time, placing him in Jerusalem, the center of religious life, at the very top of the temple, at the pinnacle of the temple. The devil is getting smarter. The test is getting harder, because now Jesus isn't the only one quoting scripture. The devil does it too. Devil says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command angels concerning you to protect you. On their hands, they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. In other words, what the devil is saying is he's relying on the same source that Jesus has used to resist, essentially saying, hey, it says it right here. Take it up with God. It says it right here. Scripture says the angels won't let anything happen to you. Just try it. Try it. Go on. Try it. Try it. Try it. Try it. What are you waiting for? Try it. It's God's word. But Jesus, a third time, resists. It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Whereas the devil offers security and salvation, protection and care, Jesus again rejects the devil's advances, essentially saying, I don't need to test God to prove my worth, to prove my belovedness, to prove that I'll be safe in God's arms. He digs deeper beyond the devil's empty promises and empty words and finds assurance, a trust and care in the security of God. And at that point, the story goes that the devil flees for a more opportune time, one that we will hear. That time is coming as we get closer and closer to the cross in the season of Lent. So that's the story. That's the story. And now you may be asking yourself, what in the world does this have to do with a basket of tortilla chips? And the answer lies in that very first verse. Don't miss it. Do we have it up? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. That's where he begins. And it's a fullness born of God's power, presence, and provision, a fullness that precedes his wilderness experience, with a fullness that's present throughout his journey, there the whole time, as he journeys through temptation and desolation and despair and hunger and pain and hopelessness, all of it. And all of it's real. All of it's real. And it's not just stoicism or grit or will, determination that enables him to resist these temptations. It's the fullness of the Holy Spirit that empowers him to turn away from the tempter's seduction, to resist the duality and see through the allure of the comfort, power, and security offered by the devil, to instead, and in the midst of the desert, of seeming hopelessness and powerlessness and weakness, to instead dig deeper, to cling to God's provision, God's promise, God's comfort, to see God's dream, God's blessing still, not just for himself, but for the world. Jesus was full to the brim of the Holy Spirit, God's presence and power at work in us and in the world, and we are too. And so I wonder, like those tortilla chips at the start of the meal that leave you full but still so empty, as we begin this season of Lent together, I wonder what for you could be filling you up but still leaving you empty. What's filling you up but still leaving you empty? What is it that's tempting your time, your priorities, your energy, your attention? Maybe it's a quest for self-sufficiency that amounts to subtle discounting of your trust in God. Perhaps it's a bitterness or a grudge that you're holding on to. It takes up so much space in your head and in your mind, crowding out any sort of potential for goodness, for reconciliation, for redemption. Maybe it's a full calendar that leaves little room for that which you've named as a priority, but with actions that don't necessarily align. What is it for you? But I also wonder if it's a fullness you feel when it comes to the heaviness of the world, a fullness of fatigue from the last 2 years, a fullness of stress and strain that you feel as inflation hits, the prices of food and gas, chairs go up, the heartache you feel when you watch the images coming out of Ukraine. It's all real too, just as it was all real for Jesus in the wilderness. It's all real, and it can feel so full of heaviness, leaving little room for anything else. Full, but still so empty. I saw this video yesterday. I'll post it later today I didn't know what kind of capability we'd have to show video today, so I can't show it this morning, but I'll post it later. But it's a video taken outside of the train station in Lviv, Ukraine, as Ukrainian refugees are scrambling to flee for their safety, for their lives. And amidst the desolation, the hopelessness, the despair, amidst the fullness of fear that's palpable there in that train station, a woman, full of the Holy Spirit herself, sits down at a piano and begins to play. The song that she's playing feels so out of place, and yet it offers a different kind of fullness, a fullness all its own. Not one that leaves you feeling more empty, but one that feels more true, more hopeful, more real, more full of God's goodness. The song, "What a Wonderful World." What a wonderful world. It was quite the juxtaposition. I watched her play and I listened, and my eyes were suddenly full to the brim of tears, because her song, her defiance, gave me a fullness of hope that I hadn't experienced for 10 days. 10 days. There was a fullness of beauty, of truth, even in Lviv there. Whether it's Ukrainians feeding Russian soldiers and letting them FaceTime their moms to let them know that they're safe, Polish moms leaving strollers at train stations in Poland for the Ukrainian mothers who come with their kids, and so much more. There is goodness on display, a fullness of it. God's love made manifest even there. And that's just it. That's the good news. Even in the desert, in the wilderness places, when it can be so hard to see and feel, the Spirit that fills Jesus cuts through it all to reveal something more, something deeper, something more true, something that's been there all along, just waiting to be tapped into. The love and grace of God that surrounds him and fills him, that will never let him go. And it's the same Spirit that fills us to the brim, here, even in our desert places too, now and always. Amen.
Hey, it's Leah again. If you love what you hear, share this episode or send it to someone who could use a little good news this week. We'd also love for you to leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. For more information about the local church, visit thelocalchurchpbo.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at localchurchpbo. Until next time, love where you are.